This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I mean, talk about a tease. Next segment, for the first time ever, we're going to have a soap clarification. I don't know if a radio tease can get better than that. A soap clarification coming up. We talked a fair amount of politics last hour and also tied it with some music and Valentine's Day. Again, I read you the Ilhan Omar apology and clarification. When she says she unequivocally apologizes, that's fair. When she says, they're still educating me on the painful history of anti-Semitic tropes. I don't accept for a second, by the way, that she's never heard about the stereotype of Jews and money. Okay, come on. This is a very accomplished person. So it's definitely a step in the right direction. She doesn't have to back away on her points and her criticism. But words matter. Words matter. When we call them out on the orange man at 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue, she calls them out. So guess what? Her words can be called out also. So we'll see where that one goes. But we also spent a fair amount of time talking about Amy Klobuchar, what took place yesterday and what your thoughts are. So let's get to plenty of the text right now. Amy is no longer my senator, now a candidate who needs to raise money and speak as a candidate. I would wonder with this person if this person ever supported Amy. Now, some people are consistent on that. They feel like if you are presently in office, that you shouldn't run for another office. That's up to you. You certainly can feel that way, but we have a history in this country of candidate after candidate after candidate doing that. Most of the time, senators don't win. Barack Obama as a senator was atypical. Jack Kennedy as a senator, atypical. But we've had many, many governors before. So if this person potentially was never a supporter of Amy, it kind of rings hollow, right? If you were, then that's a view you certainly have. Amy touts herself as a moderate. She says she always works across the aisle. Check her voting record. She always votes straight party lines. Well, let me read you a story here which offers up quotes all over the place from Republicans. Johnny Isaacson, Republican. She is a person of character and credibility. She's the whole package. That's probably too nice. Senator Tom Tillis, Republican. One of the more reasonable voices in the room. Susan Collins, her question on the Judiciary Committee is excellent. Her questions can be thoughtful and respectful, still probing. They're not easy, but it's a good model. Pat Roberts, another Republican. Of the folks that are running, she's probably more responsible. John Thune, Republican. Going to be looking for somebody that's actually going to be electable in the general election, and I think it's a spot she could fill. John Cornyn. Does not strike me as an ideological enough to be competitive. Legitimately centrist argument to make, but she's going to find herself in a field that's going to out-liberal themselves. Lindsey Graham also prays. If you look at the data, she has worked with Republicans on a number of issues. The comeback is, though, that on the biggest issues, the biggest ones that draw most attention from us, she does mainly vote party lines on those particular issues. We were talking about, you know, the numerous stories out there about how hard she is to work for, and Lindsey made the point that let's be consistent about this. Are other candidates facing the same scrutiny? among the techs. I agree it should be across the board with candidates. However, you most likely don't agree that it should be across the board for both parties. The news is definitely slanted left, and this is Republican. You'll be all over it across the board. Well, I've called it out like five straight days in a row. And minor little point again, I voted for Republican as the president of the United States. So, yes, on Donald Trump, for his actions, for his words, for his lack of intelligence on these issues of the White House, for his bullying, I've called him out. It hasn't been about Republican versus Democrat. What a stupid story. Big deal. She's tough. We want somebody tough. Like I mentioned before, though, I don't think the staff turnover will be a big issue. I think it's unless significantly more comes out, I don't think it's a big issue. Klobuchar is a people who does not get back to her constituents either. I've heard the exact opposite, actually, that she's very good getting back to constituents. But I've not reached out to her that way. Let's see. I like Amy. This hasn't changed my mind one bit. Chad, people use a bully are trying to pull others down to their size. First tough question, Amy avoids it. Not good. I think she's avoided it locally. I think she punted on it yesterday. I think she punted on it with Stephanopoulos today. I normally think when she's on the national shows, though, and they ask her the tougher questions, she is a lot better in that way, which is why surprising why she's ducked us in some other shows. In other ways, please give me examples of where Klobuchar has voted with Republicans. The data is overwhelming. You can look it up on the data on who has put together more bipartisan bills that she's consistently near the top. I just read you like eight quotes from Republicans praising her. But I also said on the issues, health care, the economy, on military matters, on areas of war, on the numerous other issues that I don't want to say are hot button issues, but are the issues that a lot of people pay more attention to than some others, even when some of those others are very important themselves. On those issues, she has been mainly with Democrats. 2:09. Here is Laura with the news update. All right, we started the show as we normally do with the cross section of items. And I saw the note from Minnesotan Pete Hegseth. He's on the Fox and Friends show. He is full true believer in the president. And he said his policy now is whatever he's talking about off air, he should talk about on air. And he included that he never sees germs, so he doesn't believe in germs, which is a heck of a statement to make just overall in life, right, Lindsay? If you can't see it with your own eyes, it must not exist, okay? Well, that must mean, those folks who doubt the moon landing and that the earth is flat, that they still have hope. And he then added that he hasn't washed his hands in 10 years. Yes, he showered. I don't think we're suggesting that he hasn't showered in 10 years. Although then we had the debate, can you be attractive if you haven't showered in 10 years? And I think Lindsay basically said men would have a better chance. Although for women, isn't it actually good for all of us if we don't shampoo?
Yes.
All the time.
Yeah, you're not. We apparently shampoo too much.
Yeah.
Although I'm about to correct myself, so maybe I should stop saying these things.
I've got a backpedal. You want me to get the backpedal soundbite here?
I mean, well,
you find it, and then I'll try to find this before we're done with the show.
I know it. I totally know it.
Hold on a second, and then we go.
What?
That's kind of how you were. I know it. Then what?
Oh,
kinda.
Yeah. Well, no. So I would just like to paint this picture for you. I came out on a hard stance. Not washing your hands is disgusting. And
yeah.
I'm standing by it, too. I am standing by that. But some nice man created a Twitter account about 10 minutes after I said what I'm about to correct.
Wow.
created a Twitter account just to tweet me and tell me I was wrong. Well, so I appreciate the commitment to the bit.
You know what that says? The power of Lindsey Gensel.
Is
it Gensel or is it Gunsel?
It's Gensel.
Okay.
Apparently, now here is your marketing dollars at work.
Right, okay.
Big corporate America.
Yes.
There is no difference between antibacterial soap and bar soap. And I would like to correct my earlier statement if you use a bar soap in the shower, apparently it's not any different than what you wash your hands with. But you actually have to wash your hands. So let's just lay it out there. I was wrong.
Yep.
Soap is all the same.
Yeah.
We all should practice good hygiene and wash our hands. The CDC says that the antibacterial marketing scheme is getting the best of us, and I am the prime example of that.
Sucker.
I'm a sucker.
Yeah.
But I wash my hands.
Yeah, I'm pro. I'm pro with you on that one.
So that was my own little correction corner. Shout out to my favorite podcast, because they have to do that every week.
Yeah. Well, also the individual who set up the account to respond to you.
Here's the thing. I have an email address, or you could call. But you went through the whole process of creating a Twitter account to tell me I was wrong, and that makes me feel special.
That does. Let's talk Bob Costas. Bob Costas.
Speaking of germs.
Yeah, he hasn't washed his hands in 200 years, no.
Well, I'm talking about the pink eye.
Oh, yeah. Remember think about that in the Olympics. I mean, seriously.
Poor guy will never live
that
day.
It dominated the Olympics. Think about it. The greatest sports broadcasting career potentially of all time. If you just talk about the diversity of what Costas did, it's in some ways unrivaled. Because people will go with Howard. They'll go with Michaels. And Howard did have plenty of crossover appeal away from sports, right? News. He had a Saturday night show. Michaels has been an all-time broadcaster in so many sports. Michaels was also amazing the O.J. night. The O.J. night with ABC with the Bronco chase because Al Michaels, neighbor of the Juice, we're tight, I call him the Juice, and knew Brentwood, so he was breaking down his neighborhood basically. But Costas from signing with NBC very young, game of the week, to everything he did with all the sports. Then think about later. And that success for a decade or so. And if it was any event of substance on NBC for multiple decades, Costas was a part of it, including the Olympics and the pink eye. Costas and NBC walked separate ways in the last few months. And Costas, in an exclusive interview with Outside the Lines and ESPN, which came out yesterday, said the reason he was cutting off hosting Super Bowl 52, our Super Bowl, we lost out on Bob Costas. It's because of public remarks he made about concussions. Because he has been, let me try to find the right word, truthful, honest, candor, researched on concussions. So he was supposed to be a part of it for the Patriots and Eagles game right here. Costas, at one point, was told by the Brain Wizards, NBC, I think the words were, you crossed the line, and my thought was, what line did I cross? In 2017, Costas told the crowd, and this was well covered, by the way, at the University of Maryland, the reality is the game, football, destroys people's brains. Not everyone's, but a substantial number. It's a small number. It's a considerable number. It destroys their brains. That's 100% correct, by the way, ladies and gentlemen. The comments quickly went viral, prompting NBC to put out a statement saying that Costas' opinions were his own. It did not represent the view of NBC Sports. He also went on CNN about that time to make clear that he wasn't being critical of NBC, but NBC pulled him from the telecast anyway. I recall the phrase, it's a six-hour, day-long celebration of football, and you're not the right person to celebrate football. To which my response was, oh, please, please change your mind. Response to this, yeah. I guess you're right. He also told ESPN that an essay he wrote in 2005, pegged to time the release of the movie Concussion with Will Smith, was killed by NBC Sports because the network was in negotiation with the NFL to air Thursday Night Football. At the time, Costas never would turn these essays over. He was Bob Bleepin' Costas. Smart. Understood the medium. understood what worked, understood the time he had, the platform he had, but just also being aware of how sensitive the NFL might be with concussions, they said no. NBC and Costas ended their partnership, as I said. An NBC spokesman told CNN this: "We have historically given our commentators a lot of leeway to speak out on our issues and controversy, and Bob benefited most from this policy. We're very disappointed that after 40 years with NBC, he has chosen to mischaracterize and share these private interactions after his departure." Costas has interviewed every significant sports figure in the last 30 years, and so many regular political entertainment figures. What is sad is, and this would have included for Super Bowl 52 interviewing Goodell, but the NFL didn't want to upset, or the NBC didn't want to upset the NFL. I believe Bob Costas 1,000%. And I think NBC should be embarrassed, and they're not at all, I'm sure. Because this is what's going on nationally and locally. That you write enormous checks to a team or to a league or to some other entity. And what's happened now, when you're part of that partnership, whether it's a local broadcast, regional broadcast, or national broadcast, you become so much more now of a puppet. It's one thing if you're enthusiastic for the team, more power to you, okay? Or you're a fan, okay? But to the point where you're making excuses when there's not an excuse to be made, when you're lying about it, and by the way, when your network paying them billions of dollars and the sports journalist, maybe best one ever, or right with Cosell and others, can't conduct an interview with Roger Goodell about a very valid topic, that is pathetic. I get it. It's excessive football, right? So did it ruin anybody's Super Bowl before Super Bowl 52 that Costas didn't interview Goodell and somebody else did, or it didn't happen? No. But this is, again, an entity that you're already paying billions upon billions of dollars, and when it's the biggest health issue out there and the numbers are dropping about kids playing and CTE, and you don't have the testicular fortitude to say, you know what, we're going to cover this issue, I think that's shameful. But also, it is a trend that is happening more and more. I want to tell you about Pro Flowers here, and why Pro Flowers can help you out and provide you with a fantastic gift. Because if you're still listening to me right now and you don't have a great gift from Pro Flowers, I'm not sure you're a Valentine's Day pro. You can be if you work with Pro Flowers, because they have a wide variety of bouquets to help you out. Freshly cut, carefully packaged, expressly delivered means the flowers arrive in perfect condition, okay? All sorts of different bouquets. Whatever works best for you, they will make it work. And guess what? When is Valentine's Day? Oh, it's a couple weeks from now. No, try this Thursday. So work with them, okay? A dozen assorted roses with a free glass vase. You could try that for how about $19.99 plus shipping and handling. Go to proflowers.com. Click on the mic, the top right of the page. Again, proflowers.com. Click on the mic to get this fantastic deal. Enter my name, Chad Hartman. John Bream on the Grammys in less than 10. Former congressman and now Attorney General Keith Ellison on the show in the 12 o'clock hour. Love it if you podcast our show. WCCRadio.com/Chad. If you want to check out the last portion of our interview, when I asked the former congressman about his replacement, Representative Omar, and this was pre-apology. So this was pre-apology. And hear what Keith Ellison had to say about Representative Omar. That is available to you right now, Facebook.com/WCCO Radio. Hooters. Lindsay, when's the last time you ate at Hooters?
Would have been October of 2003.
Wow, that's very precise. How do you know it so well?
We went there senior year of high school before the homecoming dance.
Oh, would you go to the homecoming dance?
A giant group of us.
Giant group, okay.
Yeah, it was like 30 of us. And we went to Mall of America, big city living.
Of course you did,
we
from New
Hooters.
Prague.
Yeah. I was wearing a little turquoise dress. Our homecoming king was along. Yeah, we had a good time.
I'd like to hit la-di-da, but I don't have it right now.
Well, because you spent so much time finding the backpedaling.
Yeah, I did. Well, hold on. No, I don't want to go with that one. I got none right here. Is that the way a lot of people are going now? To homecoming and into events, just the big group. It's easier that way.
From my knowledge of teenagers these days.
Yeah, who knows them better than you?
Exactly.
How about this? Would this work?
El Pecharo.
Doesn't work at all, but I just like hearing it. Because we did that for Ricky Rubio as a nickname, and I think we found out it meant something totally different. But
it does sound good.
That sounds really good.
El Pecharo.
I'm trying to remember who did that for us, because, the voice, it's you feel like you're in Spain right there. I don't remember the last time I was in Hooters. I know when I was broadcasting games in the CBA and in minor league ball, making really big money, I think like $6 per diem on the road, something like that, we would stop often, and it would be like we'd try to find a Hooters. We try to find a Popeyes. We try to find a Subway and have that. But you find me this one. Because I don't know if I've mentioned Valentine's Day, chai, Dupro flowers, or Sherry's Berries. If I mentioned that once, twice, maybe a few times? Hooters is trying to take it a little bit different. Right now, Hooters is saying this. Visit your local Hooters on Valentine's Day. Close circuit to John if you're looking to do something with Lindsay. And destroy a picture of your ex, and you will get 10 free boneless wings with the purchase of any 10 wings. But if you're not sure how to destroy said pictures, Hooters has an online quiz for you. Answer 4 questions, including how long since the breakup, and they'll tell you how to suggest that you ruin the picture. So do you think you have to show up like it would be... You and, why do I ask his name wrong? Phil, Pete, which is it? Phil or Pete?
I mean, there's probably one of each.
Okay, so Phil and Pete.
Phil and Pete. We'll just bring them all.
Let's bring them all. Do you have to bring a picture of you and Phil, or could you just randomly just go to Google? Maybe you just want to really show up. You go to Google, and you bring in a picture of Gisele Bündchen, and you act like you were the guy before Brady came along.
Now, here's the thing.
This is my ex, Gisele. I don't know what she's done since.
You are thinking too far into this. How often in the last 10 years has Hooters been in the media?
Not much.
Exactly. This is the world's best publicity stunt.
I love this idea.
Here's the thing. Who is going to go to Hooters on Valentine's Day and only get their 10 free wings? No, you're going to go for your 10 free wings, and then you're going to buy, I don't know, do they sell pitchers of beers? Like tater tots?
I'm guessing yes.
Dessert? Like... You are going for the free thing, and they are taking a very easy chance on the fact that you're going to spend more money. So you bring that photo of Gisele in there. They can't prove that.
I like it. You're going to go, here's my ex, Bar Raffaele. You know? And so they're going to go, whoa. You know? Or you bring it in there, and it's like some, you know, you bring in a picture, and it's Donald Trump.
Well, and
we dated for a brief period of time before he met Melania.
No, but... The thing is that what's great about this is there is going to be someone who takes it incredibly serious.
Oh,
and
sure.
Brings in a photo, and they are jilted and angry and
still
upset.
Still bitter. Yeah.
And then Hooters is going to use that
publicity. For sure.
Bravo.
I say kudos.
Yeah.
Kudos to Hooters.
Because in all honesty,
even though your wings stink,
I think a lot of people think Valentine's Day is overrated.
Yeah.
And it's overdone, and it's...
Have I mentioned Pro Flowers and Sherry's Beers?
I don't know. Have you called John yet?
Yeah.
You've got his number.
Yeah.
No, but I just think this is a fun way to look at it.
Yes.
If you're someone who doesn't have a significant other, you go to Hooters.
Yeah.
Do it.
Just keep...
Take the light rail to the Mall of America.
Well, and here's the other thing I say. Just sit one part of Hooters and keep turning around and bring different pictures up there, and you might be there for a long time. John Bream, Star Tribune Music Observer Extraordinaire on the Grammys in moments.
Thank you.
All right, you can read John Bream's excellent work in the Star Tribune on a regular basis, and certainly today his view on the Grammys last night. Good to chat with you as always, sir. When you're judging the Grammys, and you've been there many times, so it's different when you're there versus watching at home, how do you decide when it's done if this was, a, in your view, a good Grammy show?
Well, if Jimmy Jam holds up one of those signs that has a 10 on it, like they have a dunking contest, and you decide if it's a good Grammy show.
Yeah, that'd be pretty good.
I think what you do, and actually, Chad, when I'm at the Grammys, the years I've been, we're backstage watching on TV screens.
Yeah, so it's about the same.
Yeah, so we're not in the arena watching it. But you decide on the overall flow of the show. You decide that there are more good performances than memorable performances, and a lot of it has to do whether the right people win the awards. But they only give away 9 awards on TV.
Mm-hmm.
Last night it was 3 hours and 45 minutes, and we only saw 9 awards presented on TV, and 2 of them were rushed at the end.
What do you think about that balance?
Well, I think the show is too long. I think the Oscars run way too long with too many insignificant awards on TV, so it's nice that you have a limited number of awards, and music is about music performances, so I think we'd rather see music than hear a bunch of speeches.
Yeah, I agree with you. I like the Grammys, but John, 3 hours and 45 minutes is just way too long. I mean, I just wonder, outside of people who are working like you or the ultimate music aficionados, are staying for the entire just short of 4 hours.
I don't think I would believe the ratings would indicate that people do not sit there and watch the whole evening.
Right.
And I think it's curious how they load the program. They've front-loaded it with a lot of women, a lot of popular young women, and then they move certain artists to the end of the show, hoping they'll attract people. But they don't do a good job of promoting when someone's going to be on, other than the Super Bowl awards or spots where they said, you know, these artists are going to be on in the first hour. We don't know what's happening at the Grammys. Of course, they didn't know that. I mean, they had Ariana Grande in there, and she pulled out with a few days to go before the awards.
Now, how big was that? Because they had a different view on which songs they thought she should play versus what she thought she should play. Is that right?
Oh, who knows exactly what it was.
Yeah,
all we hear is the spin control. It sounded like the Grammys wanted to dictate what she could play, and she had a different idea. And she said, thank you, next, and decided not to show up, even though she just dropped a great new album last Friday.
Do you think it hurts a star of her stature at all that she doesn't show?
No, not at all. Where was Taylor Swift last night?
Yeah.
You know, Taylor Swift, I think, was in England at the BAFTA Awards. You know, I think Taylor was upset because her Reputation album wasn't up for Album of the Year. She's won 2 Album of the Years, the only woman to win 2 Albums of the Year. And so I think in a subtle way, she kind of boycotted the awards, just like Kanye doesn't show up. Jay-Z doesn't show up.
Now,
the Grammys thinks they're bigger than any one star.
Yeah, well, and they're not. But you know, they obviously carve out a niche. Now, leading up to it and afterwards, people are talking about it was ladies' night, and a lot of people are saying it should have been ladies' night. Do you agree with that? So kind of going back to your first point, do the right people win the awards that you believe should win the awards?
I think this year it happened with the right people winning the awards. Every year we're always surprised. Usually Album of the Year is someone we go, whoa, you know, that's not what we expected. So, Kacey Musgraves winning Album of the Year, it was critically acclaimed. It won the CMA Album of the Year. It was not a surprise. You know, I don't expect any of the big hip-hop albums to win, especially when they expanded the nominees from 5 to 8. So the 4 hip-hop albums are going to kind of cancel each other out. So, you know, the safest conservative choice almost always seems to win. And in this case, it was artistically acclaimed. Critically acclaimed.
Give me a couple of the performances which you thought really stood out.
Well, there were actually lots of really strong performances. I think the teaming of Dua Lipa with St. Vincent was a great performance. The Dolly Parton medley with all kinds of guests was just, you know, so Dolly.
Yeah.
And so powerful. I think that was
it fit her very well, right?
It fit Dolly, and, you know, you have all these bigger, current, more current stars, and you couldn't steal the show from Dolly. You know, not at all. And then I thought, in Life Imitates Art, you had two of them from A Star Is Born. You had Brandi Carlile, who appears anonymously or unnamed in the movie Star Is Born during the Grammys.
Right.
Actually got to perform on the Grammys finally, and
won
three. And then Lady Gaga, you know, reprising her role in A Star Is Born, singing Shallow. A little different version.
I'd say.
With her kind of spangly cat suit there and a little over the top, but very Gaga.
Okay, what fell flat on its face?
Isn't this obvious, Chad? Can you say J-Lo and Motown in the same breath ever again?
I'm glad you said that, because when this came up, I think it was last week or it was 2 weeks ago, and we were talking about it on air, and I said the only way this has a chance to work is if she's one of multiple people in a Motown tribute. John, this was just an advertisement for her Vegas show. That's all it was. I mean,
it was totally Vegas. I think the only person who may have liked it was A-Rod.
Yeah. I mean, she's beautiful, good dancer, she's a good singer. But I'm sorry. When it's Motown, isn't it just a layup to find other people directly tied to Motown or others who can have this strike home a little bit better than just Jennifer Lopez?
I mean, didn't Gladys Knight sound great at the Super Bowl?
Yes.
Isn't she available? Stevie Wonder's around. They let Smokey Robinson sing, but he had to team up with J-Lo, and it was a miscarriage. I mean, it was just a train wreck. You know, even though it was, she's a great dancer, like you said. She's very entertaining, great production, all of that.
Yeah, for sure.
It just missed the mark. It did not say Motown.
So is that just their thinking? She pushes the needle with ratings, or why would they pick her?
That's a great question. I think they wanted women. They wanted to get more diversity in there, and they wanted a big, splashy number. And interestingly, they're doing a Grammy salute to Motown's 60th in a few weeks, and she's not even part of it.
What does that tell you? Exactly. I like Alicia Keys a lot. She's very, very talented. I think she's comfortable. She's funny when she's on shows. I liked her last night. What did you think?
I agree. I think I was pleasantly surprised. She held her own. She was musical. She was quick. She looked nice, but she didn't have outfits that said it's all about me.
Yeah, right.
Maybe some people didn't like all the hats she wore because you couldn't see her face all the time. But she did a nice medley on piano, playing two pianos at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
I was surprised how well she did. It made me forget about LL Cool J, who I thought one of the weakest hosts, and they kept him for 5 years because he's tied into a
CBS
program that's on the same network.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly.
James Corden, the last 2 years, was fine.
Yeah, he was.
He's funny, he's entertaining, but he's not a recording artist. So I think... And he doesn't have 15 Grammys to his name.
No.
So I think Alicia was a very, very good choice.
I know she's waiting right now. She's listening. I thought the hat game, she pulled it off well.
You liked that?
I did. I thought it was very good. Okay, you wrote in the Sunday paper, it was online on Saturday, about rap, hip-hop, and the Grammys, and how on the awards you're feeling like it hasn't received as many as it should, or kind of this odd alliance. What did you think about at least last night?
Well, how much hip-hop was there on stage?
Not much. I
mean, we had Post Malone in the first hour, and who was duller, him or Red Hot Chili Peppers, who played with him? And then we later had Travis Scott, who famously got bleeped three times during the Super Bowl halftime, and he got bleeped again last night. But I thought he was better last night. But again, he was in the last hour, and there wasn't much build-up for him. It also seemed odd that he would be sitting in a cage performing. I thought that was bad imagery, maybe dubious. And then, talk about dubious, he was wearing a Rush T-shirt, the band Rush.
Yeah, I did see that. I didn't really understand that. That just seemed odd to me. Okay, musically, what? Let's say the next couple months, what are you looking for? Like, Elton is coming, is it this weekend? Is it next weekend? I'm trying to remember when.
The 21st and 22nd at Target Center.
So do you believe this is it for Elton? Because he's saying this is a retirement tour, or is he going to be here in 2 years?
I believe this is the retirement tour. I mean, we might get him in 2 years because it's a 3-year retirement tour.
That's right.
He could be coming back. You know, a lot of these performers, as they get into their 60s and 70s, talk about retiring, but they're retiring from the road. They're not retiring from music. They're not necessarily retiring from performing. So I won't be surprised if Elton returns to Vegas for another residency.
Sure. Why not?
But, you know, it's grueling to go on the road. And we forget Elton has two young children.
Yeah,
so maybe
that's right.
He wants to spend more time with his kids and not be on the road.
What else is coming up, whether it's really at a, you know, the X Target or one of the excellent smaller venues we have, which is coming up reasonably soon, that you think people should check out?
Well, Kelly Clarkson, speaking of great TV personalities,
yep.
I mean, what a great unfiltered mouth. I love her. She's coming this weekend. She'll be at the X on Saturday. And someone I've waited a long, 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 long time to see, Mariah Carey, finally giving a proper concert in the Twin Cities. She played once at a KDWB, you know, all-star show, and she sang for the Today Show one morning at Mall of America, but she's never given a proper concert in the Twin Cities. That's March 13th at the State. Same day as the woman who runs the world, Michelle Obama, is going to be here the same day, same night.
Okay, speaking of that, Michelle Obama comes out last night, and the place is aroused. I mean, that the place absolutely loved her. Smart TV by CBS, what did you think about Michelle being a part of it?
I think it was a great element of surprise. I think it was a great statement that women were stepping up. I mean, the CEO of the Grammys Recording Academy committed a great faux pas last year when backstage after the awards,
reporter
asked him, how come there was only one woman who received award on TV? And he said, well, women have to step up.
Mm-hmm.
And he didn't mean it disparagingly, but everyone took it the wrong way. And so the Grammys stepped up, and I think they wanted to show women power in the first hour, especially. And they did it with Alicia Keys. They did it when right away she brought out J-Lo, Gaga, Jada Pinkett Smith, and Michelle Obama, with Michelle Obama being the real surprise because no one would expect her to be there.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Was her book an audio book? Maybe that was eligible for the Grammys.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Wouldn't shock.
Although Jimmy Carter won the spoken word Grammy.
That is right. Are Jimmy Jam and Terry still a huge part of this? Or?
Well, Terry never has been a huge part of the Grammys. Jimmy Jam has been on the board of directors of the Recording Academy for a long time. You know, I think he's like a president emeritus of the board or chairman of the board. He's still on the TV committee. And did he look great? He lost a bunch of weight.
He did. That's what I mean, because we had him on Super Bowl time,
mm-hmm.
and he just looked like Jimmy, right? But when I saw him last night, I was like, wow. I was very happy for him.
I texted him this morning to make sure he was okay, and he said he's getting ready for his 60s because he turned 60. He will turn 60 this June. So he
did he say how many pounds he lost?
I didn't ask.
Yeah, where is the line, right? You know, it's better just to say all good, how you doing, versus to the exact amount, I would think.
Yeah, but it looks like he needs a tailor there.
Yeah, well, I think, you know what? I think he can afford it.
Yeah.
I think he'll make it work. John, always appreciate it. Thanks for coming on, sir.
My pleasure. Keep rocking, Chad.
John Bream, a must read, must follow. Check him out. Star Tribune. It is 2:50. That is our Lindus Construction Time Check. Time to call us for free home improvement estimates on windows and insulation.
Should I stay or should I go now? Should I stay or should I go now?
Our friend Jamie Yukis will join us tomorrow. We'll get to many other items. Jamie should be with us 1:35 tomorrow. Also tomorrow, another chance for you to win a gift certificate from Pro Flowers and Sherry's Berries. Let's just keep the time 1:10, Lindsay. We've been going with 1:10 so far. We'll continue at 1:10. And we have another creative idea for you. We spent some time on Friday's show talking about the, let's just call it out, the blackmail and extortion from the Enquirer, from the company, towards Jeff Bezos. And how he handled it, how they handled it, and how it would play out. Amongst the most tantalizing item came from Bezos's investigator, who has worked with a lot of people, a lot of high-level people for years, and he said to the Washington Post in an interview, it is very possible that a government entity was behind stealing the texts and the sex, right? How did they get the information from Bezos or the gal, Lauren Sanchez? The attorney for the National Enquirer was out with Stephanopoulos yesterday. I guess I applaud him for his spinning, but it was absurd, you know, when this is what we normally do. This is just negotiations. I'm sorry. If you send someone this, stop doing what you're doing now. When Bezos was trying to find out if the release of his texts and pictures were politically motivated. And when you say you're the other entity and you say, stop doing it now or else I'm going to do this, and whatever it might be, in this case, it's text and video. How is that not blackmail? Because it is. Now, to all of us in conversation, it is. Can you prove it under the law as it's written? To me, watching a bunch of interviews and reading a bunch of stories, I think most people believe absolutely so. Shockingly, Alan Dershowitz doesn't, which I don't know what's happened to Alan Dershowitz, but that's another question. So now there was another hint from the attorney that it was somebody who's been working with the Enquirer for 7 years. It's a source as well known to both Bezos and Sanchez. And this had been rumored before, and Daily Beast is reporting that it's the brother. That Michael Sanchez, Lauren's brother, was the one who has the information and was able to get it to them. Now, when it gets a bit politically interesting, is he does have some ties to Trump World, to Roger Stone, to Carter Page. Now, was he just doing this to get back in the president's good graces? Was he just trying to get his own profile higher? Because the attorney, again, for the Enquirer, was adamant in saying that Donald Trump had zero to do with this and no other government entity had anything to do with it. And the Daily Beast, going back to what others have reported, saying again today, it is the brother. Let's see. Maybe it is. Maybe it's 100%. That's it. It's disgusting. I mean, what a great brother you are if you're willing to do this. But it's still worth following that story. And then I guess if you're in trouble, you can hire that attorney because he's willing to say anything and everything. And he might be brilliant. I have no idea. But this just doesn't even pass the laughability test. We are done. Thank you so much for listening. Check out the podcast, WCCORadio.com/Chad. Paul and Jordan are next.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.